that 1 + 1 is not 2, it is 11. And Brains, we are here on the edge with this one right here. That's right. There's just super sauce. This is Jackie, Dr. Jackie Taylor. Brains, let me tell you about this woman here. She is phenomenal. She is a cyber security expert. We're talking about on a personal and a global level. She has been at the table at the G20 summit with some of the world's most influential leaders. She is an author. She's a real cool woman from Britain, and she is here to talk to us about some things that's going on in the world, you know, because I'm telling you, I'm trying to give you guys all the information for you to be able to make an informed decision. See, that's what ignorance is, Brains. It's not knowing. So you can't say that you didn't know. Now, what you do with the information, you're going to have to live with that. But as far as being informed and knowledgeable, you're going to get that right here on the edge. So Brains, help me welcome right there. You know, my fingers get mixed up there. Dr. Jackie Taylor of the UK. Hello, Queen. How are you?
Oh, I'm grand. I'm so delighted to be here and to speak to you all. Momentous week for us all this week. Every week's a momentous week. Delighted to be here.
Yes, it is. And I tell you, every minute right now is I'm counting as valuable. People live day by day. I'm hanging on the thread. I'm living moment by moment because I'm trying to nurture myself. I'm starting to feel the fatigue. I've been fighting it every which way I can, trying to get out and all that. But yesterday I was in my car and I was listening to some old Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, and, Ball of Confusion, and The Big Payback with James Brown. And I tell you, I just turned into a puddle of mush, Dr. Jackie. My heart just couldn't take it, because these are songs that were created in the 70s. And here we are, 2020, and we're reliving them only with a heightened sense of awareness and new ways to destroy us and destruct us. But before we get into that, I want to hear a little bit about you. Tell my Brains your experience. I mean, you are one brilliant woman.
So hello, everybody. I'm a cyberpreneur and I'm a web scientist. So a web scientist, I'm one of the international web scientists that works with Sir Tim Berners-Lee, that created the connectivity, created the place that we can speak today. And I've taken that global World Wide Web from 18% with the rest of the web science team to over 50%, over 4 billion people connected to us all, which is incredible. That was the 20th anniversary in the web in 2009 and where we are today. But actually, I'm one of 2019's global leaders because I made a speech at Davos in 2019 that was a massive rock in the pond. Because I said, my company is called Flying Binary. And I said, as a web scientist, who do I stand for? I stand for us all, but I stand on an inclusion agenda. And what I mean by that is leave no one behind. We have a chaotic and disruptive world of technology. And my company builds things on an inclusion agenda. So I'm not going to predict the future today. I've engineered it. I'm giving you what we've engineered. I'll give you the data. I'll give you the numbers. And there are 34 million citizens across the world that help me do my work. Mm-hmm. I have the technology that allows me to connect to any of you. So any of you on any day may get a hello from us at Flying Binary and ask for help at how we would engineer the way forward, our future. And that's part of our cutting edge research. I actually work on the future digital economy, as April's already talked about, the G20. I created the global plan for the G20 in February, but actually that led me to be appointed to the United Nations. And 180 nations, I'm curating that future economy, which I'm building with entrepreneurs as the empathy economy, because we're talking about the transition, the chaos and the disruption, but there is always opportunity, and nobody more than entrepreneurs understands that. But how do we get that what we need to do connected with that opportunity? And that's what I call the empathy economy. And I'm building that out, and I will personally support 1 million entrepreneurs to grow their companies on those new values. And that's me.
Well, let me tell you, did you get all that brains? Okay, because that's super smart. You know, I want to ask you about cybersecurity. You know, I tell people all the time, we are living in unprecedented times on so many levels. We've got the pandemic, we've got the world finance, we've got Brexit, we've got who God knows what's going on in the United States, we don't even know. And our own personal security and information that we just freely let out. So many people get mad at Facebook, you know, oh, Facebook is selling our information. Well, you know, if you didn't put pictures of your kids, if you didn't put, you know, do transactions through them with your credit cards, if you did not click on links that you're unfamiliar with, you know, you are really opening yourself up for these type of things. Tell people a little bit before we get into the heavy stuff, some of the risk that they run by providing so much information free.
Well, I mean, I'll give you the global piece. So the research from the World Economic Forum, which is the basis of which I went to Davos, the across 141 countries, what you've just described is happening. Now, there's other stuff happening elsewhere in the world, but that fraud and use of data and cyber around the what's happening online are the second and the seventh global risk to all of our businesses. And we'll talk about that in a bit more detail. But the reality of it is, remember this one thing, free is never free.
That's
you do
right.
not get Facebook for free.
That's
you
right.
are the product. And your terms of service, if you read the terms of service, you are giving them license to do anything they like.
That's
anything
right.
you use that's for free in this day today, you know, 2020, is not free. You are being monetized. The agreement is, the transaction is, you will be monetized on what you use. Because quite frankly, Facebook have to pay for this stuff. And how they pay for it is us. We are the product. And whatever else you learn today, understand that.
But not only that, Jackie, do you prefer to be called Dr. Taylor or Jackie?
I don't mind. Don't call me professor. It puts people off.
but you are so right. And I tell people, you know, nothing is free in this world. And you're providing all of this information, all of this data. And Mr. Zuckerberg was fined $1 billion by the United States government. Do you brains think that he is just going to sit back and chew on his nails and lose that money? This is strategic. However, it's a double-edged sword. Could you imagine being in this situation, in this pandemic, without a Facebook, a Twitter, or an Instagram? We would really be in a world of trouble. If he decided to pull the plug and say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to not provide this information, or I'm going to hold all your information hostage, or I'm going to put you in Facebook jail because I know tons of people that have been put in there, or you're being subjected to censorship. People are really getting mad about that. You know, I kind of chuckle because really, it's freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want to say, but there's a consequence. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the thing about it is, we tend to share the best of us online, not really the real stuff. I would say that what we share isn't an authentic thing. And so the changes I made at the G20 level and the UN level are around a new economy, which is value driven, which is actually much more authentic. And that's why I call it the empathy economy, because it's actually not about us as individuals, it's about us as a collective. And inclusion is the core of that, leave no one behind. You know, in my own country here in the UK, 10% of our population are not even online. So we've automatically disinherited them with this conversation that we're having now. And so we have to understand consequences, cause and effect, basic laws of physics, quite frankly. And as a web scientist, it's my role to say, what is the impact of this social transaction that we're creating? And in the pandemic, for example, 1 billion extra people came online. And that is a new social contract across the world, you know? So 1 billion people are doing what they do every day, a work from home scenario online. That the only population across the world that was ready for that were the cyber criminals, because they only work online. They're not, you know, they're not anywhere else. So we are navigating now what I call a new social contract. And it's really important to understand the landscape behind that. And I let me know when I can explain what that means to you all. Because I think the thing that people don't say is, well, that what does how does that affect me, Jackie? You know, I hear all this stuff and I read about it. But really, what does it mean to me? So what it means is the annual cost of cybercrime to every company is on average 12% of your turnover. So think about what you made in 2019, take 12% off, and that is their payment. That's what they're doing. But the thing that people don't know is 58% of that money across the world is actually small businesses. Small businesses are the lifeblood of all of our economies. And 12% of everything we earn on average is going to fund drugs trafficking, people trafficking, and terrorism. Now, I know the entrepreneurs I work with can do something much more effective with that cash. And so that's where the empathy economy comes from and the way in which what we're going to talk about today. Why does it matter to you? Right. And if it doesn't matter to you, does it matter to the businesses you support, your family members, your communities? Because some people can say, well, I'm all sorted. And everybody you're connected to, every supplier you use, every client you have, are they sorted? We have to stop looking at this as an individual. We start to think community. How can we mobilize to be able to share these resources such that we're all protected? And that these folks are disinherited. These are the people that are worrying, the cyber criminals. We need to be able to take some of that power back within our businesses. And entrepreneurs are exactly the right group of people can do exactly that. And I formed a new initiative. Like I say, I'm going to back 1 million entrepreneurs with it that I'm calling Cyber Safe Entrepreneurs. And I'll give you some resources on that as we talk.
Right. You know, as I said, excuse me, everyone is so worried about the minuscule things. Yeah. We are fighting a 21st century war with 1960 tactics.
Absolutely.
And it's not successful. You know, they're worried about, they're protesting. There's a place for everyone. I understand that. But you don't have to march now. It's a point and a click. They're sending in drones instead of human beings to fight wars. They are completely destroying your businesses, your finances, your career. They call it canceling, you know, the cancel culture. They're canceling you out through your computer. You know, there's all types of technology when it comes to medicine and sharing your information and data. I want to talk a little bit about some heavy hitters when it comes to the cyber thievery community that I have been watching and other people have watching. They're anonymous. And I had a friend that her husband's business was held hostage by Anonymous.
Right.
And he's never recovered. Can you tell me and tell my brains a little bit about organizations like that? I mean, these cyber hackers are incredible.
Well, the thing is, we've created the economy for them to operate. You know, they only operate and do what they do because we are not cyber safe. We don't take the practices we don't build our businesses in an awareness way. And that's really what Cyber Safe Entrepreneurs is about. If we don't actually utilize what we're doing online in a way they understand, they have to pass us by. They don't find us. So actually, it's about Anonymous serve a need. And you know, I'm a white hat, so I am an ethical hacker in the sense that finding vulnerabilities, finding out where we may need to have more cybersecurity is what me and my company do. But the reality of it is organizations like that exist because they meet a need, as do any of the cyber activity across the world, because they work online. That's the difference. Now, work from home has really brought all of us into the environment I work in every day. And so we've got to get cyber safe, knowing that that's the environment we're operating in. We've got to pull our socks up about how we do it. And I want to just explain one thing that is never talked about, but is actually more of an issue than most people realize. Most people are talking about credit cards and, you know, their phones and all the rest of it. But But the things that are never talked about is we've actually got, as I say, we've this 4 billion people across the world online now. And the reality of it is we have sprinkled devices all over the place, including our homes. Have you thought about cyber in your home? The most vulnerable part of your home, if you've connected your devices in, isn't your phone. It's your thermostat. They can control the temperature. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, hold that thought for a second, because you know what? These smart TVs, I tell people they're watching me. I'm not watching them. And your refrigerator tells you if you need milk. And this Siri, you know, I never use my Siri. I don't like that. I don't want to say afraid, but I don't like artificial intelligence, even though I'm an investor because I'm on the cutting edge. But these things are, you know, these robots are taking over and they're recording everything you do. So through your thermostat, wow.
So the number one device that's attacked by the criminals is your thermostat. The number two is your alarm system. The number three is your smoke detector. Voice control and Alexa is number four. So
exactly.
So we have to think, we have to be a little more open in our thinking about what it is we're doing. A little bit like we said, free platforms are not free. You're actually allowing somebody to take control, but equally you connect your devices, which, you know, people talk about your laptop and your phone. They are not the things you should be concerned about when we're working from home. These other things. So what I'm wanting to say is, you know, I mean, there's a top 10 one, and the last one is lighting. Okay, so if we're in the dark, we've all got candles, we can light that. But yeah, your thermostat, that's the one thing that criminals attack more, because there's more of them. There's more thermostats out there. And so therefore, it's a bigger attack surface. More homes have them. And so the reality of it is we have to get a little bit more thinking along the lines of what we call in the cyber industry, cyber hygiene. What is it we're doing online in our homes that actually makes us open to the attack? And you know, the reality of it is we have to think a little bit more strategically than just our little world, because once our little world is connected to the World Wide Web, it's not our little world anymore. And The criminals, that's where they operate. That is their office.
Wow. And again, that's what they do. And they're younger and they're smarter. They're more innovative. They're coming up with brilliant ideas to take over. You have sat at the table at the G20. I am impressed. Okay. Really, you know, that who has been some of the most influential people sitting around that table when you're making decisions that you've come encounter with?
So I think it's a very interesting environment, because I work as a what's called a science diplomat on behalf of the UK across the world. So I have what I call bilateral conversations with other countries where mutual interests are discussed. G20 is a very interesting place because we focus more on what we have in common than what divides us. And one of the things that has made me think differently about what I do as a cyberpreneur are the Japanese, because the Japanese have a generational perspective on what they're doing. They don't look about the next 5 minutes or the next 5 hours. They look the next 5 years, the next 25 years, the next 50 years. And they include all their generations in what they're doing. We tend to be driven by the fact this technology that we're talking about is underpinning this risk from a cyber point of view is in the hands of our younger people. And certainly my own company, Gen Alpha, between the ages of 16 and 6 is who we design for. But the Japanese have a longer term view of this whole thing. So for example, they've been experimenting with robots and what we were just talking about, how they might be more empathetic if they're caring for people with dementia, how they might give a more personalized interaction with somebody who is actually struggling to be cognitively strong, and how, you know, a robot might interact with that person to assist them, to help them remember, to have, and we have, you know, some of those robots have VR and AR, so they can play memories to trigger cognitive ability. So I've been very impressed, and I've spent a fair bit of time in Japan, by the long-term thinking. I think we're a little bit too instant in the West. We want it yesterday. We want it now. Yeah. Whereas that generational thinking includes everybody. So it's that inclusion agenda, leave no one behind, but takes a long-term view about how you get there. But I've been very impressed by the collaboration at G20 level of focusing on what binds us, what connects us, and not what's different.
Right.
And so the multilateral end of it, I've done a lot of bilateral, you know, UK to another country, but the G20 is very different because it's multilateral.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what struck me.
You mentioned the Japanese. You know, America used to be the world leader in technology, and everyone would, you know, mimic what we're doing. We have fallen so behind. Our children are not getting quality education the way that they used to. They're not even valuing education. They're not even going to school right now. They're being homeschooled or, you know, taught by their parents the best that they could. Where when I've traveled to Asia, education is like air. It's like water. It is a necessity. It is ingrained in you, and you are required to do your very best. Not C's, not average. You are required. That push, that drive. Are you seeing that in other countries outside of Asia? You know, are you seeing that? I know that, again, countries like India, they really, really value that. Africa, they really, really value that because they know that education is what's going to set them free and set them apart.
And I think that's true. And for the current digital economies, that holds true. Mm-hmm. However, Gen Alpha, when we talk about our 16 to 6-year-olds, those are the people we're designing for. What is wrong with that setting that we're just talking about now is it's homogenous. It doesn't recognize the talent and value of the individual.
Mm.
And so an education setting in my world, in the empathy economy, is around a facilitation, not a teaching. It's about connecting the students with resources, allowing them more of a lateral thinking, not getting them to step, everybody steps at the same pace and everybody must, you know, actually, what's your talent? What are you contributing? So some of the amazing people I work with, I've got some incredible mathematicians that at the age of 4 were making changes that our A-level students, our high school students couldn't do. Why? Not because they were being taught, not because they were given the same education that other people were, but because they were given access to knowledge, they were given free thinking. My youngest entrepreneur has just turned 5. So I said we work 6 to 16, but with James, he's actually was 4 when I met him. He understood that he has a friend of his who is not able to access society because he suffers from cerebral palsy. James just thought that was wrong. So he was like, okay, so what I need to do is I need help to do this, this, and this. I brought my dad. He can do all the stuff I don't want to do. And then can your team help me work out what it is I've got to build? And he's built an app because actually for his friend to go along and to be able to participate in the world, James sees the value of his friend. He knows that people with cerebral palsy have a difficulty in engaging with the world, but they have many amazing qualities. So I've worked with those young people across 50 different ways of differences they interact with the world. We've got 50 different initiatives. I just picked out one. But this is about, I'm thinking about some of my gifted mathematicians. They're autistic, so they don't navigate our world the way we do. But my view of the way that future education space is, we need the world to navigate their way or give them access to show us how that works. So some of my gifted mathematicians have finished their degrees at the age of 16 because we were holding them back in our education system.
Right.
So whilst I understand and agree with what you say about the education system, if we were to reset it with areas in the world that value education, we're still getting a homogenous education. And Gen Alpha, Gen Z, who I originally did this work for when I started the company in 2009, there are entrepreneurs, there are online entrepreneurs. They see a problem, they just go solve it, solve and go. But Gen Alpha are actually much more connected with not even using or navigating the world the way you and I talk about it. no interest whatsoever. And if you need another example of that, Greta Thunberg, she just thinks climate change is wrong. So she's gone about it in no way, no way that you and I can understand. An education system doesn't help a Greta Thunberg get her message out. But all of the Gen Alpha we work with, they work like that.
Asperger's, right?
Yes. Yes, she's on the spectrum too. And I think Sir Tim Berners-Lee has learning differences too. And these young people are creating a new perspective on our world. And actually what I'm involved in at Flying Binary is to facilitate them, not teach them. They teach me as much as I facilitate what they do. But if you can give them the tools and the support they need, they can bypass, you know, lots of things. Our own son, they started our own son. He's 27. He became one of the 30 under 30 global gaming influencers at 21. Upset everybody in the gaming industry because we didn't do the traditional route with him. We said, what might you need? What might you explore? He didn't do a university education. He had no time. He was headhunted at 18 to go and change the banking industry, which is where he started and done what he's doing. And so actually we need a new way of looking at this from a Gen Alpha point of view. And that's really my work at G20. I've effectively brought that to the table, said it's inclusive, and there's the prize, 4.4% growth for a future digital economy if our young people, if we support them to unlock their talents. Hugely exciting and a whole new change.
This is brilliant. This is absolutely cutting edge. Because they're still trying to teach them 1 + 1 and teach them another formula. And it was so sweet when we got on the, in the green room, we were talking a little bit and you said, well, 1 + 1 is 11, you know, yes. It's you plus me. It's not 1 + 1 is 2, it's 1 and 1. And that was, you know, just the simplest things. And I love how you say you meet them where they are and they tell you what they need, you know.
And so his my son's headmaster said to me one day, must be amazing being his mum. I said, yeah, the amazing thing is learning to move out of his way quickly enough I don't get run over. Because actually they can move at a speed you can't imagine. And that 1 + 1 is what I call web science maths, because actually the value we bring via our humanity as individuals is a paradigm change for this world. And this whole chaos that we started off talking about is actually that opportunity. So I spend some of my time in boardrooms of companies you would have heard of, that you would know, saying to them, let these people in, give them an access to what you're trying to solve, and you'll get 10 things back you completely do not understand. And the value of them is they look at the world in a completely different way. Why? Because it's always been connected for them. If they're 16 today, this is their world. They're not frightened of it. So at the G20, one of the reasons I got the gig was I put the evidence on the table that all the plans they had were wrong. How did I do that? I contacted 2 million people between the ages of 38 and 16, or 18 actually, 38 and 18. And I said to them, if you had a chance to put your voices into this debate, what would you say you needed most? They're our future workforce that work in this world that we're talking about, AI, robotics, all the rest of it. They are so excited. They just want everybody to move out of their way so they can explore. And they are looking at it from a humanity point of view. How does this technology change help humanity be more of what it is? How does it bring it together?
Exactly. And that's what I tell people, that they're not using their brain, for the simple fact they're still talking about the color of your skin. Brave, are you listening? Are you we're talking about Gen Alpha, okay? You're talking about Gen Z. We're talking about Gen Alpha.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've had a discussion about them. They are not thinking about that. They're not worried about guns. They're worried, they're even beyond global warming because they're preparing to take us to Mars and to live, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And so let's go back to the James example. He's saying, my friend, you know, has, Andrew has cerebral palsy. He should be able to do what I do. How can I support him to do that? How many other children that are for having that thought. That's what they do. I've raised one. I know how it is. And so actually, it's about all of us saying, well, as entrepreneurs, we can deliver our value to the world, but we must make room for young people to be part of that bow wave. And so my cyber safe entrepreneurs piece is to actually give the cyber knowledge to do that. But my empathy economy is to bring those entrepreneurs with me, because quite frankly, it's not enough. My company does it, but I know, because I've done this 3 times before, that if I take it from me to 1 million entrepreneurs, that bow wave, that change we need to see in the world, it's done. I know that for a fact, because I've done it 3 times before. I don't need to do the 7 million I did last time, or the 6.5 million I did last time. Before that, I just need 1 million. 1 million of us can reconfigure this world based on what myself and April are talking about. It's actually just a matter of getting our work boots on, which is what Sir Tim Berners-Lee said to me in 2009. Get your work boots on. We'll need to invent it. You don't need to invent it. I've already invented it. But we need to get our work boots on and get moving on it. Because we all need to be the change we want to see in the world. That's at the end of the day, that's what this is about.
That's exactly what this is about. And this is what I believe, I always say, the perfect pause.
Yes.
With the coronavirus, yes. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what color your skin is. We're all equal. Yes. We have all been asked to stop what we're doing. They're about to shut. Didn't they just shut down London again?
Yeah, so we're debating that in our parliament at the moment, but we are heading towards a lockdown across the rest of the United Kingdom on Thursday. Yes, because we've got to learn to live with this thing. We don't have a vaccine. We don't have another option. So we've actually got to rewire our lives to learn to live with this thing.
And the thing is, here in the United States, it's it's denial.
Right.
But nor can you see air. Nor can you see people's intentions, nor can you see people's hearts, but you deal with those as well. And they're just as real and just as relevant. They're tangible.
They are. And then the one thing I want to say on the back of that, April, I think there's more that connects us that divides us. There's much more that connects us. Right. And because we have the World Wide Web, we have the ability to create that connected fabric. And Sir Tim Berners-Lee created the World Wide Web for humanity to discover its own truth, but we've got to get our work boots on to make that happen.
Well, you know, it's funny when you say work boots. The work boots are out in the field because they're walking in manure. climbing to the top of the peak of a mountain, they're wallowing in slop. Before we conclude, Jackie, give us some suggestions on what we can do with regards, if it's a small business or individuals, on how to, I don't even know if the word protect is even relevant anymore, safeguard,
cure. No, it's not. It's not.
There's a point and a click. You know, they're worried about this. You can pay $35 and get a security check on people. You can go on Google Maps or whatever and hover right over someone's home with their address. You can put in their phone number and find where they live. What do we do to, quote unquote, protect ourselves?
Well, we need to look at and understand the things we talked about tonight, because being oblivious to it, being disconnected from it, not being part of the solution is actually no good for you, no good for your community, no good for your business. So the first thing I've done for you all is I've actually created some of the things I've talked to, the actual facts from the World Economic Forum. I've created a downloadable giveaway on that, because what I want you to do is I'm just putting that in the chat so April can socialize that to you.
Okay.
I want you to use those facts to have your conversations. I want you to strategize for your businesses for 2021 around the things I'm giving you. I have put the home under attack numbers that we talked about on it as well, because it's not just about your business, it's not just about what we do out there. It's actually, you know, look into our own and to be able to create communities that look like that as well. So I put all that together. What do you do with it? First of all, strategize on what you can use that for. Secondly, if you're connected to April and you got access to this, you get access to two things. Number one, you get access to me because you're now part of the empathy economy because you know this wonderful lady. And that's like, so thank her regularly, send her flowers, chocolates, whatever. I mean, up to you.
Love the flowers.
Yeah, fabulous flowers. But because you're connected to her, you get access to me. And you become part of those 1 million entrepreneurs I'm prepared to support. The other thing is, give that is free for you to give out to your connections, because it's not just about us. It's about all the businesses we work with. It's about our schools. It's about our communities. It's about Gen Alpha, as we've talked about. So that is for you to give away too. So let's get the facts out there. Let's understand that 12% of 58% of cyber attacks are against small businesses. That's us. We're the power behind the economies, but we're in the front line. And let's do something extra with that 12% and not spend, let criminals spend it where they would. Now, because you've got access to that, I'm going to make sure you get access to all the things I put out online for free. Some of those things are in public, and you'll get the opportunity to opt in that. But of course, we need to be much smarter than that. Brains, as April would say. What we need to do, what we need to do is make sure we outsmart them by using a different plan. So as I launch the empathy economy, I'm going to make it available online to you all. Up to you what you choose to do. But some of the things I've got to teach you, I can't teach you where a cyber criminal can get access to it. I can't teach you to something they might learn on a podcast or in Facebook. I've got to teach it to you on tech that I own. So I'm building the tech, or my team are building the tech at the moment, for a million of you to get that global plan that only the G20 have, that only the UN have, and get it for your business. And because I'm reaching out to you, I will make sure you're included in that information. Some of it in public, because I can say it in public, because the criminals know that we know. And some of it because we're going to keep it between ourselves, because we're going to win this one. And it's not about protecting, it's about connecting. So drop protect, think connect. We will create a fabric across this world of people with great values who look to a not a positive future, positive self-thinking and all of that. You can't do it in this chaos, an optimistic future.
Wow.
So from positive to optimistic, from protect to connect, that's the empathy economy.
Wow. I need a crane. That's so heavy. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm ready. I'm ready. So yeah. I'm at the top of the list.
Absolutely.
I got goose pimples when I thought about that. I feel like I'm going through the vortex. This is weird. This is science fiction. This is not your normal everyday kerfuffle. You know, this is.
No, and it's not. And to be honest with you, my research goes back to 400 AD.
Wow.
So, yeah. So every 400 years, this paradigm shifts. Now, because none of you were alive, nor was I, 400 years ago, we don't know that. But it did. And so, but we are in the nexus of that. So we are very privileged. I know that what you see that goes on every day at the detail level and around you doesn't feel like a privilege. But if you take it back 400 years ago, 800 years ago, those people that were in that place, of which, you know, we're forming the first people to understand the empathy economy, they knew they were onto a way of doing things differently. And what we are going to negotiate is how our world needs to be, and unlocking the talents of Gen Alpha to give us the ideas, the support, because quite frankly, we need to build the world we need to live in. And that's what the empathy economy is. But yes, I know it seems chaotic, and reach out to me on any of the things I give you as free resources. But quite frankly, across the world, you know, I'm connecting with communities like I am with you, and giving it a new lens on the future. And it's an optimistic lens. Please remember, you know, it's not about protect, it's connect. It's not about positive, that won't get us there, but it is about optimism.
Right. I couldn't say it, and I couldn't close any cleaner than that. We need to be optimistic, you know, and we need to connect.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. That's how we're going to survive.
It is. You know? We're going to thrive. We're actually going to thrive. I've got the numbers.
The people that are going to thrive are the forward progressive thinkers, that are willing and open to do this and not still live in the tunnel vision and the shadows of the past 400 years ago. You know, 400 years ago, there was slavery. So not a lot has changed within, you know.
Well, 400 years ago, you got rid of your oppressor in the UK and you divined a new future, didn't you? Yeah. 400 years before that, the UK got, but the 400 years before that, the Magna Carta was signed and we got rid of a king that was in charge of a people. Right. So think about where we progress from that Magna Carta being signed at Runnymede through 400 years ago, where America won its independence and we started off a new world. We're there again. We are very privileged to be at that nexus point. Just imagine. Awesome, really.
Well, I am so privileged to have you. Will you come back?
I will, absolutely. I'm delighted to support you in the community. It's about all of us navigating that new future. Definitely.
And anything I can do to support you, to share my brains with you all around the world, to be a part of information. And I mean, you know, when you're talking 4 and 5 years old, let me ask you that though, really quick before we conclude. How do you find these little brains? Or they find you?
Well, they find me. They find me. I was actually navigating, it wasn't a G20 meeting, but a meeting in Japan, and my team were interrupting me, and they know not to do that. And they said, you have to talk to this young person. And the first thing I said to him was, you're never 8. He goes, so I'm not 8. He said, my brother's 8, so I know how to act 8. I'm 4. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with nothing. He said, are these your people? Are you the boss? I said, I am the boss. He said, can you get them out of my way? I said, I can try, but it depends what you want it for, James. He said, well, I'll tell you. And he gave me a list. So I said, okay, put the team lead on. Put David on. I said, David, give him what he wants, but make sure he eats, because that's the thing they don't do. They just get lost in what they're doing. And I said, give him 3 days. Took him 3 hours to explain to you what he's trying to do, because I get what he's trying to do. You just need to get out of his way for about 3 days, but it only took James 3 hours. And they were like, oh, got it. And at which point they opened up all our resources and gave him what he needed. And his poor shell-shocked dad, who was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, never apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, I know how hard it is to raise one of these children. I've done it myself, but I equally know the impact they can have. And they find me. They find people recommend me from all over the world, and they find me. And I'm delighted to connect them in to the empathy economy, because they're the reason why, but they're also the way in which we learn to make good choices. Because of course they don't know how the G20 operates, and they don't really care. They just want what they know they need to do, in James's case for his friend who has cerebral palsy, to be on a level with him. Why can't Andrew do what I do? It's like, it's a damn fine question. I don't know. Let's find a way to make that work.
That's amazing. And that, you know, again, you have a calling on your life. You have a calling in your heart. I can see your aura there, because again, it's magnetic. They're drawn to you and we're drawn to you. I'm going to put all of your information, but please tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want more information, your website, if they want to be a part of the empathy economy. This is just, again, this is groundbreaking. This is revolutionary, and it's here on the edge.
It is on the edge, and where else would I be? So I've put in the chat for April to give you as part of show notes or however she tells you normally. But I've created it because, of course, it's got to be cyber safe. I don't want the criminals hold of it. So it's not on a website. It's not on a Facebook page. Of course, it's not. It's on something I own. So it's WEF, that stands for World Economic Forum, WEF.Jackie. I'm a Jacqueline. So that's Jacqui, .online. So that's not your traditional website or anything. That's my tech. You'll connect directly with me.
That's right. So, you know, you don't have to worry about it being hacked, because she's already locked it up. She developed it. That's what I'm talking about. I tell you all the time, your intellectual property, you know, your brain, your work, this is your safety. This is your security. And I can't wait to get more involved and actually rewatch this interview, because it's been mind blowing. And thank you so much for being right here with me on the edge. Oopsie, you got my thing all upset.
been a delight, everyone. Such a delight to meet you. And the thing I would say to all my US colleagues, I'm working US time for the next 10 days too, because this is important for our world. We're with you. We're all with you across the world. It's all going to be fine because we'll make it fine together. So thank you again. It's been a privilege. I appreciate it.
You optimism. That's what I think I'm going to tell you this show, optimism. Because we just hold on, baby. Just hold on. Yeah. Do not be distracted. Do not be angry, because that is a part of the distraction that is going to throw everything off. Be forceful, but be empathetic and be a connector. Thank you again. Yeah. Jackie,
you're welcome.
I adore you.
Thank you.